on message titles, and that worked out really well. Thank you. If there was ever any doubt in anyone's mind about the love that God the Father had for us, it disappeared that night that a baby was wrapped in a towel to keep from scratching his back. Now, I thought about that this week, and I thought, what an amazing set of circumstances that came about for the birth of Jesus. And it's just so amazing. And the next thought that went through my mind is, do you enjoy getting interrupted? We all have things that we want to do, and then something comes along like an interruption and throws everything out of the plan, and it becomes inconvenient, and I guess that's why they call them interruptions. Things that, plans that we had that have to be changed. Some years ago, Cindy and I were on our way back from seeing her mom in St. Charles, Missouri, and we got caught in an ice storm. It was over January 1st, right around that time of the year, and we got to the Indiana-Illinois line, and they had closed I-70, and it was a bad enough trip anyway. So we get there, and we can go no further, so we end up taking the first road that we can and going south, and it's probably 50 miles. It took us probably 3 hours. Got down there and found a hotel. Unfortunately, just across the parking lot was a BW3. So we were able to take care of a place to stay and take care of a place to eat. But we vowed at that time that we would never go back to see her mom over New Year's Day or over any time New Year's. I did not vow I would never go back and see her at all, but we did agree that we would not do that again. Our driving was interrupted. We had made plans to do other things, and they changed. Has your life ever been interrupted by a child saying, I need money? Right when you got your hands in something else. The car's broken down, so I need to get it towed. I need to go get someone to take care of that for me. You go to the dentist and you find out your son or daughter needs braces. Probably everybody in here is, right, Chris? Everybody in here has experienced that. And that's an interruption that you had not planned on spending money on. But those things come along. They come into our lives and they get us frustrated, and we become uneasy about the circumstances that are going on around us. Somehow, they come along to steal our joy, to steal our excitement about maybe the Christmas season, about maybe something that you were planning to do, whatever it was. And so what we had hoped was going to go real smooth hits a bumpy road, or maybe hits a fork in the road, and so we have to end up looking somewhere else and doing something different. Are we looking forward to Christmas, or are we looking forward to Christmas being over? And I know there are people that are looking forward to Christmas being over. Not in here, but those that have no hope. Looking forward maybe for something different, something better. So I thought about a girl over 2,000 years ago, and I say a girl who was unwed, was expecting a child and not having any idea what to do, not knowing what to do. Hanging around with some guy who wasn't even the father. We know the story. She was probably looking forward to that day after Christmas, when it can be over. There was always speculation about how old Mary was, and most Bible historians will say that she was somewhere around maybe 15 or 16 years of age at the time of Jesus' birth. And we may look at her and think, that's awfully young. But in those days, a woman would become betrothed to a man at an early age. And sometimes they would spend months, years before they were ever married, ever legally married. And so it was kind of like an engagement time. And it's important, I think, that we look at this and we stop and think that even though Mary was maybe 15 or 16 years old, and we would think maybe not overly mature, she was certainly spiritually mature. And I think that's very evident in what she responded. Because what she said was, is, I am highly favored. Luke 1:28 records that. And when she was presented with that situation that she was in, she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And you stop and think about it. If we said that today, Lord, let it be according to your word, what would we change? How would life, how would the world be impacted? I've often thought about all the people that were in Jesus's family line. And if you ever want to, if you ever have nothing else to do, read the first chapter of Matthew. Because if you get through the first name, you'll stumble through the rest of them. There was a lot of interesting characters there. We would think that Abraham was there because, after all, he was the father of many nations. And we would see his name there. We'd see Isaac's name there. He was his son, and so we know he would be there. But there were some people that we look at and we think, man, why? How'd they get in there? There was Tamar. Tamar, spelled T-A-M-A-R, was David's daughter. Very beautiful woman, according to what Scripture says. But she was abused and molested by her half-brother, Amnon. Ruined her life, and she never recovered. Her life was interrupted. But could Tamar have hope in the situation, even though what had happened? There was Rahab. Rahab owned an inn in the city of Jericho, but she was also a prostitute. And she hid spies from the leaders of Jericho when they came to search out Jericho to see if they could destroy Jericho. And she lied and she sent them in a different direction than the way the spies were to go to catch those. The soldiers were to catch them. She sent them in the opposite direction. Sure, the question's been asked, is it okay to lie? At theological conversation after theological conversation in seminary, college and seminary, is a term they used with situation ethics. Situation determines what your ethics are. Could Rahab had hope? She asked to be remembered that day. When you look at these lives an example, and we look at ours, we can be thankful for what Tom read earlier when he said, for through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for them, or for the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our hope, when we read that, can remain unshaken and unbroken because we know that God will remain steadfast. He will remain close to us. He will watch over us. He will take care of us no matter what the situation that we're in. Hope springs eternal, as the phrase goes. He's still holding our hand in spite of trials and tribulations and troubles that are going on in our own lives and the lives of the world. He's encouraging us to remain strong. Be vigilant. Don't give up. Don't give up hope. Keep the faith. Allow it to grow. Allow it to move. Allow it to work in our lives. Because it's always the same and He's always the same. He never changes. The Old Testament is just chock full of stories about people. I would probably categorize it as a great history book. A Christian history book or a religious history book, maybe, might be better said. And stories in there of people who had a hope, but they didn't know a Messiah. They didn't know a Jesus, but they held out hope and they held out longing for a day, for a week, for a month, for years. Through dark times and through tough times, they held out hope. And we hold out hope, realizing that as we walk along this journey, He walks along beside of us. And as we've all read, sometimes we read the banner back here that says there was only one set of footsteps. There are probably more times than we know that there's one set of footsteps. There's not two. But that's the hope that we have. He leads us through the storms of life and brings us out dry. He can bring victory in the midst of what seems like turmoil and seems like there is nothing but tragedy, but He can turn a tragedy into victory. Why was the census called at that time when Mary was pregnant? Why did people have to go to Bethlehem, a little city in a fertile land? Say now there's approximately 3,000 people live in Bethlehem. The very clean city, they say one of the neatest cities in existence. Is that why God chose Bethlehem for the birth of His Son? Everything stood in the way of hope that night. Everything. There were so many missed opportunities. I think of the innkeeper. Here's a guy that missed an opportunity. He was either in bed and didn't want to get up. I actually had somebody tell me one day that they got up and decided to go back to bed rather than come to church. And I said last night to someone, I certainly hope God doesn't look at it that way. Something to think about. The innkeeper missed a real opportunity. We miss real opportunities. Sometimes we're not afforded the opportunity, things we would like to do that are not afforded to us. Things that people do different, maybe different ideas that we had. All the innkeeper had to do that night was open the door, assess the situation, seeing an expectant mother standing out there, and find her a place. He missed the open door. And the open door that he was offered, that the innkeeper missed, is the same open door that Jesus offers us today when He knocks. It's interesting that Mary knocked and carrying Jesus, and Revelation 3:20 talks about, I stand at the door and knock. Like mother, like son, maybe. Think of a couple people that come to my mind, and Their lives were interrupted by what they were doing. There was Paul. Paul was out persecuting the church, killing everyone that he could, trying to destroy Christianity. Except he was blinded one day on the road and lost everything that he had on this earth and gained everything that there was to have after this earth. Lost it all, but gained it all. See, Jesus took time to free Paul from what Paul was going through, to lift the burdens that were there and to change a life, and to give people hope. It's never too late. We may disagree with things and we may see things going on. Cindy and I have disagreements occasionally, not many. You may think we do, you know, but no. But it's usually because I'm wrong. But that's just life. And that's just part of being here. And we may disagree and think this is really strange stuff. The innkeeper could have changed the course of history. But it wasn't planned that way. Bible says that the Magi brought gifts to people, but you know, but that this particular time they brought gifts to Jesus. And we all get gifts and we all think, man, what in the world is this for? This is the last thing I really need. My brother, my nieces, much as we love them, it's like we don't really want to exchange Christmas gifts because they always feel like they have to buy you something. And the last thing we want is something. And you try to tell them that. So just buy gift cards to restaurants. If you got to buy something. But take your money and spend it on your kids. Don't spend it on us. Not a big deal to that. I'd rather do that than think, what am I going to use this for? So no bow ties for Christmas, please. So what do we put our hope in? Do we put it in our marriage? Do we put it in a relationship? Do we put it in our jobs? Do we put it in the Affordable Care Act? Do we put it in government? Put it in Social Security? When you think about it, there's not a lot of things there to really hope for. Because those things will all pass away. Anything that we put in front of Jesus becomes our worship and becomes the most important thing in our mind. And I know that may sound hard, it may sound difficult, it may sound callous, but it's not meant to, but that's just the way it is. God uses things around us to give us hope. The writer in Psalms says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and we look around creation and we see different things out here. We see we can walk out here and we can see snow on the ground today. And I think it's supposed to be, 39 degrees, so we won't see snow on the ground tomorrow. God used the stars to lead the wise men to Jesus. We see the sunrise. We see the sunset. We see the rain. We see the snow. We feel the cold. We feel the warm. And to me, that is God giving us hope. Giving us something to say, I'm out here. I'm here for you, whatever it is. The wise men followed the stars. They heard the scripture. They knew prophecy. And the stars stopped immediately where they were supposed to stop. God will break into our lives no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. Some of the writers and some of the scholars in the Old Testament, especially the false teachers, many of them did not believe that God would have created the earth and Christ would have been involved in it because how evil it was. And so they didn't think that could happen. But in the midst of evil, he brings goodness. In the midst of evil, he brings grace. In the midst of evil, he brings hope. So if there's any doubt of the Father's love, disappeared that night. He was wrapped in a towel so it wouldn't scratch his back. God bless you.